death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread when he had seized him. He put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. Behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but she ran and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You are out of your mind."
That's right.
But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." And then he left and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. When Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. And now he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and with one accord they came to him, and having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they were asking for peace because their country was fed by the king's country. On an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. And the people kept crying out, "The voice of God and not of a man. The voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory. He did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for worship. And we thank you for your presence. God, we ask that for the next few moments that you will give us unction to preach with the power that has an ability to change and save lives. We ask you, Lord God, that your word will be sent forth and that it will fall on prepared soil this morning. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will come and water that seed and that it will spring forth in due season and produce fruit that will give you honor and glory and praise for all that you've done for us times past, all that you're doing for us in this present season, and all that you're going to do for us in the seasons to come. Help us to be thankful in our spirits this morning as we turn our attention to your word, and we do these things in Jesus' name. All of God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. So we recall to mind, as we like to do often every Sunday, really since we started this series, from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30, that there were those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection to the death of Stephen and how they had made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, the Bible said, speaking to the Jews only. And we read about how there were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch, and they were preaching the Lord Jesus to the Greek also. And as a result of their preaching of the gospel, there was a large many of people who had believed and turned to the Lord. The church at Jerusalem had received the report about this receptivity of the gospel, and they sent for Barnabas to come to Antioch to be an encouragement to the church. And Barnabas is there in Antioch, the Bible says there's a considerable number that are brought to the Lord. And so Barnabas, being a wise man, he goes and he looks for Saul to come back to Antioch and help him with his ministry efforts there in Antioch. And after about a year's worth of time of ministering to the disciples in Antioch, we recall to mind that there was some news that had come from a prophet that there was a great famine coming upon the land and in the known world at the time. And we remember that the church in Antioch responded with a response of grace despite the treatment that they had been given, and they send a contribution of relief to those who are in Judea, and we find that that's sort of where the story leaves off in chapter 11. When chapter number 12, the scripture picks up and says that about that time, Herod, the king, lays his hands on some who belong to the church in order to mistreat them. And we can try to get real specific here, and I'll give you some details that will help try to narrow down the time frame, but let's not get so caught up in that and miss the point that we're going to get to at the end. But at about this time is a reference to the approximate time frame in which the events of chapter 12 take place. In Acts chapter 11, verse 27 through 30, the Bible teaches us of a famine that came upon the world during the reign of Claudius, who was the Roman emperor at the time. And that was around AD 41 and AD 54. But Acts chapter 11 and verse number 30, and Acts chapter 12 and verse number 1, and Acts chapter 12 and verse 25 begin to help kind of narrow down this time frame by mentioning this Herod Agrippa, which is between AD 41 and AD 44. This is the time that Barnabas and Saul delivered a contribution from the believers to Antioch to the elders in Jerusalem. This is the time that Herod ruled as king of Judea. And this is the time in which Herod died as a result of his pride around AD 44. So that just kind of helps to narrow the time frame. And it's helpful to identify that, but that's not the main thing I want to get at this morning. That's not the main thing I'm taking away from the text this morning. My purpose and my point is not to bring away an exact precision and timing, but it's to bring away an awareness of the content that's going on within the timing. In Acts chapter 11 through chapter 12 and 25, we see some seasons of highs and some seasons of lows throughout Peter's experience in ministry. I mean, we go from reading about the good news surrounding the Gentiles accepting the gospel and Peter's confrontation with those who are of the circumcision who rejected the news of the gospel being spread throughout the Gentile regions. We move from that to talking about how the gospel's been moved to the northwestern regions onto a great famine that's affected the entire known world. I mean, there's some highs and there's some lows. Amen. Amen. And can I just remind you this morning that when you serve the Lord, there's going to be some highs. Amen. And there's going to be some lows. There's going to be some good times and there's going to be some bad times. Amen. There's going to be times where we love each other and we want to be with each other, and there's going to be times where we can't stand to see each other's face. Can I get some help in here? Somebody say amen right there. I mean, there's going to be times where we can't help but stay away from the church, and there's going to be times where we have to force ourselves to get here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody help me out this morning. There's highs and there's lows in ministry, but there's one thing that remains the same, and that is the God whom we serve.
Amen. That's right.
Somebody give God a hand clap of praise.
Yeah.
That although we go through highs and we go through lows, behold, he remains the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yes. He is a consistent God who never changes.
Come on, brother. That's right.
Amen.
Praise his name.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. We find that during this time, about this time, about the time that there's a famine in the world, about the time that there's highs and lows, about this time, we find that there's a tyrannical king who takes advantage of a perishing people. Can I tell you this morning that the enemy don't play fair?
Amen.
Amen. The enemy don't play fair. He's not going to wait until you've been in training for 6 months and you're coming out the gym looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Amen. Come with me if you want to live. No, he's not going to wait until you're at your strongest point to attack you, but he's going to wait until you get into a season of perishing.
That's right.
Amen. When Jesus was tempted, it was when he was hungry. It was when he was weak. It was when he was in his low place in life that the enemy came and tempted him when he was perishing.
Yes,
the enemy comes to us when we're perishing in our weak moments, and this tyrannical king comes to a perishing people in the midst of a famine, and he begins to leverage their needs with his power. He begins to use their needs and their impoverishment and their perishing as a tool to leverage his own power.
Amen.
Can I tell you, that's how the enemy wants to treat you this morning.
Yeah.
He wants to wait till you get a low point in your life where you're just drained out, you burn out, and you're hungry and you're thirsty, and he'll leverage his power over your life this morning. As if being parched by the famine wasn't enough, here comes Herod Agrippa to add insult to injury, and he begins to persecute the church. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Amen.
You ever heard that old saying? The apple don't fall far from the tree. This King Agrippa, or this King Herod Agrippa, it's the grandson of Herod the Great from Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, who ordered that all the male children in Bethlehem be murdered during the time of Jesus' birth. And now Agrippa's going to follow in the footsteps of his grandfather in another failed attempt to snuff out the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But I hope you heard what I said. It was a failed attempt to snuff out the name of Christ. Because I don't care how big the enemy gets, I don't care how broken we get, he can fight against us, but he cannot prevail over us this morning.
That's right.
We find Luke begins this episode with a general reference to Agrippa mistreating some who belong to the church. He just began mistreating them. Then he intensifies the severity of the situation by mentioning how Agrippa had James the Apostle killed with a sword. And that's how Satan toys with us sometimes.
Yeah, come on.
It starts off subtle and he's just messing with us. He's just mistreating us. He's just tossing us around. He's sifting us like sand.
Yeah.
It's just a mistreatment. But then before we know it, things have escalated to murder.
Amen.
Things have escalated to being killed with a sword. So this is approximately about 10 years after the death of Stephen, the deacon. And we've now got the second recorded martyr of the faith. The first of the 12 to be martyred, this James the Apostle. When Agrippa saw that the Jews were pleased with this murderous action, he intended to up the ante. And he goes straight for the present predominant leader of the Christian movement. Because James wasn't enough. He wanted to send a message. He wanted to make a statement.
Yes.
And can I tell you, for those of you who are strong in the Lord, If the enemy wants to make a statement, he's coming for the head.
Amen.
Amen. He's coming for the one who's making the most difference in the world. He's coming for the one who's spreading the gospel and being the most effective.
Amen.
If you don't want Satan to mess with you, sit down and don't do nothing for God.
Amen.
But if you start working for the Lord and you start affecting lives and you start shaking the kingdom of hell with the good news of the gospel, you got a target on your back.
Amen.
And Satan is coming straight to your front door this morning.
You're right.
Glory to God.
Woo! But I'm glad we know. We know it's coming.
Yes.
We're not taken off guard because we've been commanded to be sober and to be vigilant because the adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour.
Amen.
So when he comes knocking, we ought not act surprised.
That's right.
What? Yeah. Satan has his way with us sometimes.
Amen.
But we find he goes straight for the head, the predominant leader of the Christian movement at the time. And he proceeded to arrest Peter during the days of unleavened bread. And in this continuing effort to make a statement that would satisfy the portion of the Jews that were still rejecting Christ, Agrippa held Peter in prison, intending to put him to death after the Jewish celebration. And in the meantime, he has Peter fastened securely in prison with four rotating squads of soldiers. Two guards were next to Peter. We say possibly chained to him at each side. May or may not have been chained to him. Some say they were, some say they weren't. Don't matter. He's still in prison and he's still got chains on.
Amen.
And the other two standing at the door. He's secure fast in the prison. And every 3 hours throughout the night, the squad of soldiers would rotate out with another squad of soldiers. And so the cards were stacked against Peter. And his chances of escaping was impossible.
Yes. Amen.
For man.
That's right.
But I'm glad that what is impossible for man is possible with God.
Amen.
And this seemingly impossible situation is exactly where God shows up and begins to flex his muscles for all to see. So if you're in an impossible situation this morning, God wanted me to remind you that that's where he works the best.
Amen.
You may be in a place in your life this morning and you just feel like that there's no hope, there's no way out, you're in a dark, gloomy position in your life and you just don't see any possibility for escape. I just want to encourage you that that is where God flexes
Amen.
His muscles
That's
the
right.
best.
Glory to God. Yes.
Amen. That's where we come to the next portion of the scripture in 6 through 11. We move from the hands of persecution to the hands of power and deliverance. All throughout this chapter we see hands. We see hands of persecution. Now we see the hands of power and deliverance. On the very night when Herod was about to bring Peter forward, the Bible says that if Peter was arrested at the beginning of the week, we could say, assume that he's been in prison for about 7 days at this point. Every day, getting closer and closer to his execution.
Amen.
Every day he wakes up. I don't know if they feed him well or not. Probably not, because Josephus recorded a man saying that it was a dark and gloomy place.
Yeah.
It wasn't a place that any man wanted to be. It ain't like modern day prisons, amen, where they got air conditioners and televisions on every corner.
Right.
God help me, amen.
Yeah.
It was not a very comfortable place for Peter to be. And every day he woke up, he knew, I'm one day closer. I'm one day closer. We find that when the last night of the week came, he's fully aware of what's going to happen the next morning. And someone might read this and think, well, Peter must have been overcome with fear. Peter must have been overcome with anxiety. He must have been shaking in his chains. He must have been sleepless. He must have felt hopeless. But that's not what we read in the scripture. It's just the opposite taking place, because Peter's peace was not determined by his current circumstances.
Amen.
Oh, I'll say that again for the ones in the back. Peter's peace was not determined by his current circumstances.
Amen.
Amen. His happy might have been affected, but his joy and his peace couldn't be touched.
Amen.
Because that's something that's on the inside.
That's right.
And the circumstances on the outside might affect my happy, but they can't touch my joy.
Amen.
They can't touch my peace.
Yes.
They can't take that Prince of Shalom inside of me out and take and disturb me from within.
Amen.
Unless I welcome that devil into my house.
Come on, bro. That's right.
Oh, God, hit my on somebody's toes.
Great point. Park there.
But he's not anxious. He's not fearful. He's at peace.
Yeah.
He's at peace. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains. I just, in the theaters of my mind, as Brother Ronnie Porter would say, I could see if Brother Rob was my prison guard, of course, he probably slide me a little contraband out the door, you know, thick like that. But I could see Peter with two gruffling men, big strong men on both sides of him. At some point in the night, I could see Peter just laying his head up on his shoulder and going to sleep.
And that's when my grandpa looked down and said, what in the world wrong with this fella?
But he's at peace. He's asleep. He's asleep between the soldiers. Peter's already seen Jesus walking to him on water and defying the laws of nature just before rescuing him from the boisterous winds and the waves in Matthew 14:22-23. So he knew that if the Lord were to will for his deliverance from this prison cell to occur, there would be no power in hell or on earth that would be able to stop the hand of the Lord from delivering him out of that prison. But even if the Lord didn't will for Peter's deliverance, Peter still had enough faith to fall asleep through the night of his storm. Do you have enough faith this morning to fall asleep when God says no? That's what you call peace.
Yes, absolutely.
Peter didn't know.
That's right.
Peter had no idea. In fact, when it happened, he still wasn't real sure about what was going on. He had no idea that that would be the way he would be delivered. But he still had enough faith to go to sleep, even if God didn't will for his deliverance. That's what you call peace.
Amen.
And all the while, as Peter's there sleeping between the soldiers, he's done prayed himself to sleep. He says, you know what? I've asked God. I've done all I can do. The rest is in his hands.
Amen.
I'm going to go to sleep now. Because he knew he that keepeth Israel never sleeps nor slumber. Why should he stay awake worried when the God of Israel never goes to sleep?
Amen.
Some of us wore ourselves to death. We stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the night sometimes, worried about the circumstances of life. And God's just sitting there saying, why don't you go to sleep? I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. It may not be the way you expected. It may not come the way you thought it would look. But I'm not asleep, so you can.
Yeah, amen.
Some of y'all going to sleep real good tonight. Because y'all going to remember that. But all the while he's there sleeping in the church, the Bible's talking about the church sends up fervent prayers on Peter's behalf. And there's a scripture in James that says the effective prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. And we're about to see in the text and in the scripture that the effective prayers of the righteous man would prove to accomplish much in Peter's life.
Yeah.
There's something happens when believers of Christ assemble themselves together and they intercede on behalf of a brother or sister in Christ.
Amen.
We can shake the walls of heaven. If there were walls in heaven, we can shake the walls of heaven with the prayers of the saints this morning.
Yeah.
Prayer effects change. Prayer matters, and it really does affect change. And as Peter's there in prison, the church is praying. I said, behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in verses 7-11. Verses 7-11 is packed full of action. As I sat there and read this, and I looked over it and I looked at words, I thought, man, you could run with this for days. But you find in 7-11 that the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared. A light shone into the cell.
Amen.
The angel struck Peter's side, saying, get up quickly. Peter's chains fell off. The angel said, gird yourself, put on your sandals, wrap your cloak around you, follow me.
Yes.
In simpler terms, he said, get up, get ready, let's go.
Amen.
Now, got to go. House so fire, we got to get out. How would y'all exit a burning building? I'm just curious. How would y'all get out of a burning building if it was on fire and you know you're supposed to burn up?
Would you just go
over here, grab your bag. Y'all come on, the house is on fire. Gotta get out, guys, come on. Let's take the back door, it's got less steps. I don't know about you. I'm leaving my underwear and all, I'm just telling you. I'm jumping up, y'all better hope I got something on when I get out. I'm grabbing my kids by the toes and fingers, and we're coming out the front door screaming. Help me, Jesus!
Amen. And if that door's on fire, I'll make a new door.
That's right. If you don't like where that one's at, I'll put another one there. Somewhere else. Get out quickly. Get up, get ready, let's go. He went out and he continued following. All these action words, just as I was reading that, just It's almost like this. Have you ever read the Bible and something just jumped out of the page and say, hey, pay attention to this?
Amen, yeah.
All these words were just sticking out to me. And as he went out, he continued following. And I don't know who this is for. But the Lord wanted me to tell somebody something this morning. What the Lord is getting ready to do for you this morning, he wants to do it suddenly. I don't know who this is for. But what the Lord wants to do for you this morning, he wants to do it suddenly. You may be in a dark place that feels cold and it feels dreary. You feel lonely in a prison cell, but the Lord has a ministering angel who will shine the light of the gospel to dispel the darkness that's around you. You've prayed yourself to sleep, awaiting the impending verdict of the enemy, but a messenger of God has been sent to wake you with heralds of glad tidings. Get up quickly. And as you arise in faith, the chains of despondency that hold you bound are going to simultaneously fall at your feet. But you can't stay where you're at when you're delivered. When you've been loosed, you've got to gather your things and you've got to go where the Lord will lead you.
Amen.
All the way.
Yes.
And once you begin to follow him out, you've got to continue in pursuit of him. You'll face obstacles on your way, but fear not, because the same Lord who delivers you is the same Lord who will keep you from the snares of the evil one. Your deliverance will be so miraculous that it won't even seem real to you this morning. But when you've come out, you'll know that it was the strong hand of the Lord who has opened the iron gate that was set before you. You will rejoice over the Lord and how he has rescued you from all the enemy has expected to do in your life. If that resonates with anybody in this building, somebody give God about 10 seconds of praise and just clap your hands and praise the Lord, because he is our deliverer. What he wants to do, he wants to do it quickly. Peter sat in prison for a week. And when you're in that prison for any duration of time, a day feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
2 days, you can't even explain it. 3 days, you've lost all track of time. 4 days, you've given up and perished. 5th day, 6th day, 7th day, you just exist. And it just feels like forever. And you wonder, is God ever going to move in my situation? The Lord wanted me to tell you that what he does suddenly. In his time. And what seems like an eternity can be changed in the moment of one spoken word from the Lord. He does it suddenly. He wants to dispel the darkness around you. He wants to wake you from your sleep. He wants to get your attention. He wants you to gather your things. He wants you to get up quickly. He wants you to move out of the situation you're in and follow him to the pastures of peace that he has prepared for you. He wants you to trust that as you go, the chains will fall. And he wants you to continue going even when you face the obstacles that are ahead. Psalm 23 says this, y'all know this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is our shepherd.
That's right.
And his sheep know his voice. And you're probably here this morning, and that was for you. That word the Lord gave me was for you. And you hear the voice of the Lord calling you from that prison darkness, whatever it might be. You don't have to be unsaved to be bound. Can I say that again? You don't have to be a non-believer to be bound by chains.
Amen.
Lazarus was called to life and then was loose.
Yeah.
Y'all remember the story, don't
Amen.
You? Where Jesus called Lazarus to life. And he come out bound hand and foot. And then he said, loose him and let him go.
Yeah.
You can be a Christian and still be bound this morning. And I don't know, maybe there's someone here, but the Lord is your shepherd and you are still his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And as his sheep, you hear his voice. But not only do you hear his voice,
you recognize his voice. Mm-hmm. And as he calls, you respond by running home to the good shepherd.
Amen.
You shall not want. You shall not be in famine. You shall not be in spiritual dry. I'm not talking about your pockets being fat. God can do it, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the satisfaction of your soul. I'm talking about the joy that the enemy wants you to Amen. Not have. This. I'm talking about that splendor and that life and that laughter that you once knew. You shall not want, because that spirit of peace will reign in your heart.
Amen. Yes.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. So as he leads me from that prison cell, he takes me by the hand and he makes me lie down in green, not dry and desert lands, where there is no cisterns and where there is no waters, but in a place where there is life
Amen.
And progression. And he leads me beside quiet waters. Have you ever been by a riverbank? If you hadn't, you ought to go by one every once in a while. And just sit there for about 10 minutes and just meditate with your eyes closed. Listen to the birds. Feel the green grass. Probably have a hard time finding green grass right now. But when it starts raining again, find some green grass. Listen to the streams of water as they ruffle over the rocks. Those quiet waters, those peaceful places. He restores my soul.
Yes.
He gives me life back again. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's not for my glory, but for his glory.
Amen.
So that he can flex his muscles. Amen.
Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, although all hell is breaking loose around me, although there's war and there's famine and there's debauchery and there's confusion and there's ignorance and I feel like I'm a pilgrim in a foreign land. If nobody feels that way this morning, you ain't watched the news. But you ain't even got to watch the news anymore. You can just listen to it in the streets, because they're going to tell it to you more than they will the gospel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
God help me. As I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I fear no evil. There's not enough chains you can put on me. There's not a prison cell deep enough you can place me in. There's not enough guards you can set around me. I fear no evil. Mm-hmm. No Agrippa. I fear no Satan. I fear no persecution.
Amen.
You are with me.
Yes.
You, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You, I like this, prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Amen.
And I know we're going to eat today, and I didn't plan this, but God is good. When somebody experiences that deliverance we're talking about this morning, when we get through in here, we're going to go in there and we're going to sit down in the presence of that enemy, and we're going to rub it in while we're eating on chicken bone and got these cornbread stuck in our craw. Because God prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemy. The very enemy that tried to take leverage over our lives and use that as a power against us, God says, just step aside, let me prepare a table. You sit down right here and let the enemy watch you get fat on the goodness of God.
Amen.
Somebody give God.
Here we go. Amen.
That's right.
That's good.
I don't care if we get two chicken legs in both hands. We're going to make the devil mad today.
Amen.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You've anointed my head with oil. That Holy Spirit runs over me like it did over Aaron's hair and over his beard and down to the crown of his feet. And if you've ever read anything about that oil that the shepherd puts on the sheep, it's a protective agent. It keeps those little nagging flies from getting up in their nose and causing the sheep to bang their head up against the rocks because it's so aggravating to them. It's a protection agent. It's a providing agent. It's an empowering agent this morning. It flows over us. It sanctifies. It consecrates. It sets us apart as being the ones who are cared for by the shepherd. You've anointed my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows. I'm in famine. You don't understand, Pastor. I'm dry. I'm weak. I'm thirsty. I'm sick. I'm disgusted. I ain't got no friends. Can't call nobody. Can I tell you that when the Lord leads you, your cup overflows?
Amen. Yeah.
Now, and it's not dependent upon your circumstances.
Praise
because God is not confined or limited by finite things.
That's right.
The current circumstances that you're in. Somebody say, this too shall pass.
This too shall pass.
It don't last forever.
That's right.
It's just for a season. This is a momentary affliction that you face. And Paul said that. He said, I reckon that this current affliction cannot compare to the glory which shall be revealed within me, because it's a cup that's overflowing.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Surely goodness. Surely. Not maybe. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. All the days. In the highs and in the lows.
Yes, come on.
When I feel good and when I don't. When I feel Christian and when I don't.
Yeah, come on.
You mean there's days you don't feel Christian? There are absolutely days when I don't feel Christian. And most of the time it's because of Christians.
Yeah, come on.
And some of y'all get that later.
Come on, bro.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. In that peace of the Lord.
Yes.
In that provision of the Lord. In that power of the Lord. In the hand of the Lord.
Yes.
And can I tell you, when you get in the hand of the Lord, there's not a power in heaven, in hell, on earth, anywhere that can pluck you from the Father's hand this morning.
Amen.
We see the hand of power and deliverance. Now we see the hands of prayer and hearts of doubt. Real quick this morning. Hands of prayer and hearts of doubt in verses 12 through 17. When Peter realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were praying. When Peter finally realized, oh, this is not a dream. This isn't another one of those visions. This is a real deal. God really has set me free. When he comes to his senses after he's delivered, he joins himself together with the believers who have been praying for him. Can I tell you the best place you can go this morning when God delivers you is to assemble yourself with a bunch of believers who know what it's like to have the hand of the Lord set them free.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, no, I can do it on my own. No, you can't.
No.
That's another lie of the enemy trying to set you back up for failure.
Amen.
We need each other.
We
need the church. I love the church. I thank God for the church. You say, what am I thankful for this season? Well, I'm thankful. Obviously, I'm thankful for Jesus. That's, you know, always answer number one in BBS and every other test you take in church. The answer is always Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, what you drive to church is with Jesus. Who you going to talk with much? Jesus. Right? Who you have dinner with last night? Jesus. Right? It's always Jesus. That's always the answer.
Or God.
Yeah, Jesus or God. One of the same. Depends on who you talk to. But I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful for my family. Don't get me wrong. That's always right. It was one Jesus. Somebody else said, what? Yeah. But I'm thankful for the church.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful to have a place I can come to when I get in those prisons of my life. When I get in seasons of despondency. When I don't feel like reading the Bible.
Right.
When I don't feel like praying to God. I said, preacher, you're all messed up this morning. I'm human, okay? Let's be real with each other.
That's right.
If you don't believe me, pinch yourself real good. And you're going to shout. We're going to like the Holy Spirit. Amen. We all get in seasons of imprisonment in our life, and we need encouragement. We need iron that sharpens iron.
Yeah.
And we can pretend like we don't. We can put our makeup on.
Come on.
And hope some of you men don't wear makeup.
Amen.
But we can put our suits and ties on.
Yeah.
We can put our Sunday best on. We know how to quote the scripture. I can come in and pretend like everything's on and shake every one of y'all's hands. And I'm so good at it, you'd never know that there might be something going on in my life.
Yeah.
Because I have to do it every Sunday. Amen. And there's only a few people in the church that leadership in the church can be real with. And right now, I'm real with you. Amen.
Amen.
Because if I tell some of y'all what I've been going through, y'all done had a committee form and a kick out of church. Amen.
Amen.
And that's sad that it's got to be that way.
That's right.
But every one of us in here, including myself, get depressed. Amen.
Amen.
I got a head nodding all over the place.
Amen.
We get anxious.
Yeah.
We get sick.
Amen.
We get burnt out.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
We don't want to show up, but we show up and make it up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Very, very rarely do I not want to be at church. I'll tell you that much. Very rarely do I not want to be at church. I may not always feel like I want to be at church, but I know
from whence my help comes. Right. And the Lord has given us this. Y'all look at your neighbor right now. Let's get real with each other. Look at your neighbor right now. Every one of you, look around. If you got to stand up and do a 360, just stay on your feet when you do it. The Lord has given us each other. And there's not a person in this church I could call to ask for help.
Amen.
For prayer. There's not a person in this church that I couldn't call and ask a question about the Bible, and they wouldn't judge me for not knowing the answer. They'd say, well, we'll find out with you.
Yeah.
I love the church. I really do. I love the church. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for a place that I can go and assemble myself with believers who don't mind being real people this morning.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the church. And Peter went to the church, and there's no better place for the saints to go to find strength. But what Peter encounters when he arrives at the church is kind of interesting. When Peter gets to the church, it's kind of interesting how this works out sometimes. Rob, come back here real quick and shut that door and knock on it. Real quick now. You got all these hungry people in here getting mad at you. It's all his fault. See, that was 10 minutes of my sermon right there. The church is in Mary's house because they didn't necessarily have a base Springs Baptist church to go gather at. So they got together at Mary's house, and they were just fervently praying to God. When's the last time you remember? Hey, hang on a second. I ain't been talking. When's the last time we've got together and fervently prayed together about something sincere? About a brother or a sister that's in bondage or in trouble or in sickness or in whatever situation might be. But they were there fervently praying. Go ahead and knock on that door now. And as they're praying, the answer comes knocking on the door. Well, there's this servant girl named Rhoda. Who wants to be Rhoda? Who wants to be a Rhoda? You can't be a Rhoda, man. That's not the way that works. No, I need a woman to be a Rhoda. Miss Lynn's going to be Rhoda. So we're in here praying. And we got a servant girl watching the door. And Peter's knocking on the door back there. And we're praying our hearts out. What does Rhoda do, Sister Rhoda? We're in here praying to God. And she comes running. And she's excited. She's so excited she didn't even open the door. She didn't even. Huh? Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. You know, y'all tell her how crazy she is. Y'all tell her how crazy she is. There ain't no way. We've been here praying. There ain't no way God's answered our prayer that quick. There's no way. There's no way that drunk down the road showed up on a Sunday morning to hear the gospel preached because somebody witnessed to him and we've been praying for him. Ain't no way. Right? There's no way somebody has been delivered from the chains of darkness and we've been praying this whole time. There's no way God did that. You're out of your mind, Rhoda. Sit down. That's right. We're not going to come get you till lunchtime. But all the way, you come on back in here, Peter. Now, hey, all right, Peter, come on inside. When he comes inside, y'all start talking like y'all talking over a piece of chicken. Y'all just start talking. Oh, can you believe? That's really chicken. And then so as Peter comes in, Peter, he signals this crowd. Rob probably will join the crowd, but he starts sitting in the crowd. If y'all let them know I'm in here, I'll be right back in a second. I got to be quiet. Let me get y'all skinny, and I got to get going. Right?
Yeah.
That's about essentially what happened. But it's interesting how the church was praying for the hand of God to deliver in power. And when the hand of God delivered in power, their hearts were still full of doubt in God's ability to do the very thing they've been asking for, seeking for, and knocking for.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. And as Peter comes in, he's giving them right now. He wants James, who is the brother of Jesus, to know, and he wants the other brethren who have not been martyred yet to know about what's going on. And then Peter exits the stage as playing the main character in the book of Acts from this point forward. It's amazing. It amazes me how
we can pray and ask God. We pray in faith. We fervently pray. I'm talking about they were getting down with God.
Yeah.
I'm talking about there wasn't nobody trying to listen to nobody else's prayer. They were just praying to God. They were probably all praying out loud at the same time. Because nobody cared about what nobody else was saying, because they weren't preaching.
Right.
They weren't trying to share the gospel with each other. They were fervently, earnestly weeping and wailing before God. And He was the one they were trying to get in touch with. The answer comes. And they accepted with hearts of doubt. Sometimes God will act like that. Sometimes God will do something for you that's so unbelievable that you, yourself, won't even recognize it when it starts to happen. When Peter first came out of prison, I'm dreaming. You know what, guys? I've been in this situation for 6 days, the seventh day. I've been in this situation for 6 years, 7 years. Every time I've tried to get out of the situation, I've hit a roadblock. I've hit another roadblock. I've hit another roadblock. I've hit this bill, this payment. This has come due. My car's tore up. This has happened. There's no way God is delivering me the way He's trying to deliver me this morning. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all live long enough to know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You've been praying, and it seems like every time you turn around, you hit another stinking roadblock. And you get to the point in your life where you just get fed up with it. Is anybody fed up?
Amen.
You know, has anybody in here ever been fed up?
Amen.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Amen. But sometimes God will deliver you in such a way that you won't even recognize it, and the church will have a hard time believing. But that's how God flexes them. His are out there in my. But that's how God flexes His muscles. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. We close this morning with the hands of power and deliverance. Now we close with the hands of retribution. When day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers. When the enemy recognized that the one he held captive was no longer captive, he lost his mind.
Yeah.
That's how important you were. That's how important you are this morning. You say, I don't really matter that much to the king. You must. Mm. Because if you didn't matter as much as you matter, Satan wouldn't be after you.
That's right. Amen.
If you weren't important, I don't know who in the world this is for this morning. Somebody's been dealing with something. Suicidal thoughts. They've been dealing with depression. They felt like their life is not worth anything. But I want to remind you that if Satan has been that heavy on you, you must mean something to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
It disturbed him. It's going to make Satan real mad this morning when you walk out a different way than the way you walked in.
Absolutely.
He's going to be real upset this morning. The soldiers that was keeping guard, they were filled with fear. The fear is in the soldier's heart. They know that their fate is sealed because according to the Roman law, they'd be required to face the same penalty that the prisoner they allowed to escape would have to face. Mm. Proverbs 11:8 says this, "The righteous is delivered from trouble, but the wicked take his place." There's supposed to be a transition.
That's right.
There's supposed to be a transition this morning. Whatever season of despondency you've been in, you're finna swap places. And the enemy that's been dancing and been celebrating your defeat is just gonna swap places with you. And you're gonna be the one dancing around in joy and in celebration. You're gonna be the one in laughter. And he's gonna be the one who takes your place in despondency this morning. No matter what evil comes against us in this life, we rest in knowing that God is a just God. The Lord is a God of recompense. He will fully repay. Whatever device Satan has set against you, God has something better in mind.
Amen.
For you and against him. Herod was a very angry man at this time. The Bible says, with Tyre and Sidon, and with one accord, they came to him, and having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they were asking for peace because their country was fed by the king's country. Remember, this is during the time of famine. And for some unmentioned reason, the people of Tyre and Sidon, they in some way displeased Herod, and they stand in danger of losing that assistance that he'd been leveraging over their lives during the famine. And one day, when Herod addresses the people, they begin giving him praise. And they say, oh, this is the voice of a God, not a man. And they begin glorifying Herod. And I want to remind you of scripture in Isaiah 42 and 8 says, I am the Lord, God's people. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. God will not allow his name to be mocked. God will not share his glory with another. He is a jealous God in that way. And that he wants all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. You know why? Because he deserves it.
Amen.
He deserves every bit of it. We find as a result of this pride that Herod is dealing with, his ego that he's got going for him, we see a man who tried to kill Peter, struck down by Peter's God, and then he in return had eaten God of worms. That's how God fights for us. He'll swap us around sometimes. I want you to stand your feet this morning. The end result is the defeat of the enemy and progression in the church. We see that despite the efforts of Herod to persecute and mistreat the church, despite the enemy's efforts to destroy the lives of those who follow Christ, there's a direct opposite effect that takes place. And like I said, there's a reason why the Lord gave me this message at this time for this day. He wants somebody to know that it's time for a change. And the only effect that you really have on that change is being fully dependent upon him to change it.
Amen.
I mean, Peter was really in a place where he could do nothing. He was powerless in his own power and in his own strength. He wasn't Houdini. He couldn't figure out how to get the chains undone through some magical way. He had to fully depend upon God to loose him and let him free. Had he wrestled with the chains, he would have walked away with blisters and abrasions. He'd been sore. He'd been frustrated all the more and sick. He would have fought himself to sleep. Instead, he chose to pray himself to sleep. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're a child of God, and you have been escorted into a dark, cold place by a tyrannical king, and you feel like you're alone. Can I assure you this morning, there is a church who wants to pray with you fervently for your deliverance. There's a church who wants to see you set free. And I hope that now that we've got hindsight, not only are we a church who wants to pray for their deliverance, but we're a church who wants to rejoice over their freedom.
Amen.
And believe God enough in knowing that God can set people free.
Amen.
I'm not talking to the lost yet.
Amen.
I'm talking to the child of God. The ones who've been born again, who aren't experiencing the fullness of his joy, who aren't experiencing the waters that spring forth from our innermost being. The ones who can't rejoice and sing praises because they're too sick or they're too upset and depressed with life. They've got a plug over their praise. God came to remove it this morning. God came to remove it this morning so that you could rejoice over the enemy, so that you could sit at a table that he's prepared for you and smile with the rest of us. Maybe you're here lost and you don't know Jesus. You've never met this Jesus before. Can I tell you that your chains are a lot worse? Your chains are a lot worse at this time, but they're not so heavy that they can't be broken. Because the same God that delivered Peter from a despondent prison is the same God who can break the chains of sin off of your life.
Amen.
Because he has the same power over death, hell, and the grave, and sin, and over darkness that he had over the bondage that the tyrannical king tried to put on one of his children. And he cares just as much for you as he does his chosen. In fact, he prayed for you. Jesus prayed for you. So as we sing this song, let this be a song of deliverance this morning. Let this be your song of praise. Let this be your song of thanksgiving.